I'm going to ask you to give me that envelope, and I just want you to tell the folks.
Okay. Yeah.
There's some money in there, and I just want you to tell them that it's real. Okay. I just need a witness that this is real.
Can I have a witness? Anyway, this is real money.
Okay,
this
real
is
money.
Plastic, real Canadian I think currency.
That's right.
And the denominations, yes, are here. So okay. I just verify that this is real money.
Okay, I'll call you back up in a minute. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, so this is not, this is real life situation that's going to go on here in a moment. First of all, I want to have a shout out to Leanna and Jono, who are watching this from Red Deer. And hi, guys. Can you wave at me? Okay, that's really good. They think I can see them, okay? They are 4 and 2 years old. Okay. So I want to talk to you today about money, about finances. And it's actually what we're going to talk about this morning and tonight and tomorrow is your second most important relationship. I think I'm going to get some mental pushback on that right away. Number one relationship, we'll say, with the Lord. Then number two, you say, well, my spouse or my family or, you know. But I'm going to say this. If you don't get this relationship right, you won't love your life. Your life, you won't love your wife. You won't love others well. It impacts every other relationship that you have. Jesus talked about money in the New Testament. You go through, he talked about money more times than he talked about prayer. What does that say? It's not that money is more important than prayer. It's that we think about it more often than prayer. So he had to deal with it more often than prayer. And he often used money as an example of other things because it would get our attention. We understand it. We have emotions that go along with it. So my goal in the next day and a half, and I believe I'm going to reach my goal. My goal is to significantly impact how you think, or pardon me, what you think and how you feel about money. I'm after the mind and I'm after the emotions. And I want to prove to you this morning that we all have an emotional relationship with money. Okay, so let's start with this. What do we got here? $5 bill? Okay, $5 bill? Anybody want this? Somebody want this? Okay, yeah, there. Come on, get it. Yeah, come and get it. You can have it. Only if you want it. Okay. You can have the $5. Would you like that? You sure? Okay. Okay. This is my money, by the way. I didn't borrow it. It's my money. It's not my charity's money. It's my money. I have a $100 bill here. I didn't say I was giving it away. Now I could take that to the bank now and they'd give it to me, but I'm going to keep going.
Come on, be shocked, people.
Let's keep going here. That's too much. It's too big.
You gotta stick that in an offering plate. Yes. Abby will put it back together.
Nope, I'm taking half of it with me. So nobody can go in the garbage can or anything. Okay, so how many felt nothing while I was doing that? Uh, Okay, I have another one here. You don't want me to? It's my money. It's my money. It's not yours. Why do you care? How many have ever seen anybody cut up a $100 bill in front of them before? No, never. Come back tonight. Something's going to happen to this. But you got to find out tonight. Now, do you believe we have an emotional relationship with money? Something happened, didn't it? We felt something. It's just a crazy piece of polymer. I mean, what I just did is the way our government feels about money, you know. We all have an emotional relationship with money. It impacts us. And that's just the facts. So what I want to talk about this morning is the emotional and the spiritual relationship with money. And by the way, let's stop and pause here and say this. And where's the camera, by the way? Where should I be looking? Right there? Okay, up there. Okay, I can't see with the lights. All right. What I want to deal with today, and by the way, we're not heading towards an offering. There is no appeal here. There's no building fund. There's no missions offering. I'm not here as a missionary this morning. I want to deal with your relationship with money, and I want to set some people free here, and I want to encourage everyone here. And Todd, I think we're good. I did it myself. I was going to have you cut that up, but we're good. So just in case you think I'm going to call you up there. So I want to deal with that this morning. Pardon me. Oh, right. I'm sorry. That's what's going on here. Yeah. So we're going to hand out the notes now. Going to hand out the notes. There's 6 pages of notes. We're going to deal with a couple of them this morning. And so we'll get going and we'll get into the teaching mode here in just a moment. So if you have a Bible, and we'll put the scripture up on the screen, but if you have a Bible, it's good to go there. It's the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, Matthew 6:24 is the actual verse. Now, the context is Jesus was preaching one of his most famous messages and one of the most quoted sermons in history, and so it should be. It's so packed full of truths that were, at the time Jesus spoke them, many of them were thoughts that people never had before. And he is talking about where your treasure's going to be, where your possessions are. And he says, where you place them, your heart will follow. Do you understand? He didn't say, where your heart is, your money will follow. Because he said, if you choose to put your possessions in a certain location, whether that's in things, in a savings account, the stock market, whatever it is. If you buy some stocks, all of a sudden you care about the stock market. Right. You know, you'll find that your heart follows. And then he relates that to your spiritual walk, and then he hits this in verse 24 and says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, and here in this version says, be enslaved to money. Now, if you look on your notes, and Pastor, could I have a copy of them? I left mine in my other bag there. Thank you. And if you look in your notes on the second page, word study, what is mammon? We're going to start there, and let me read it to you. 25 times in the New Testament, the word translated money comes from one of two Greek words, agarion, probably not pronouncing that correctly. Greek scholars, you can email me later. Chakos, and one of them means silver coins, one of them means copper or bronze items. So most of the time when Jesus is talking about money, like he says a man was given 5 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent, he would have used one of these words, copper coins, silver coins, sometimes even name the coin. But when he speaks about you cannot serve God and money in this scripture and one other that I have there from Luke 16, you can look it up later, it's a different word. It's a very seldom used word, and it's an Aramaic word, and it's brought into the Greek text. So even those that wrote down, and in this case Matthew, wrote down the words he heard Jesus speak, he didn't even have a word in Greek that was commonly used. So he had to use the word that Jesus used, because most of the time he spoke in Aramaic. It was the common language that everybody could understand. So he imported this word called mammonos. And then from that, we've got the word mammon. So in the older translations, in this case, the King James is probably the best translation for this verse, because it says you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon does not refer to coins, does not refer to $100 bills. It's not saying you can't serve God and have a lot of bills in your pocket. It actually means wealth of any kind. It's the state of being. It's to have a strong abundance, to be firm and steadfast in that which you're possessing. And so mammonos would actually, and in Vine's translation, it says that which is to be trusted. But if you want to go down to the blank there, mammon refers to the spirit that attaches to the money. Jesus, as he so often is doing, is taking something that's visible and he's pointing to the invisible. He's taking something that we use every day and he's creating a portal into the spiritual realm so that we can understand a spiritual principle. That'd be a fantastic place to say amen. Okay, stay with me here, because this is actually foundational, and preachers say it all the time, life-changing, but this will impact and refocus what you think about money. That there is a spirit that can attach itself to money. And we need to be careful about that. Now, we know later on in the letters of Paul, he says, the love of money is what? We know this. Non-believers, people that don't know the Bible know this. Love of money is the root of all evil. They often just say money is the root of all evil. The love of money, when we have the spirit of mammon active in our heart, can produce any kind of evil you know about. Any kind of evil has at some time had at its motive the love of money. It can produce any kind of bad fruit. And you know, there's some people that are friends. You think they're friends. They're your neighbors, your business associate. And then you owed them 10 bucks and you forgot. Watch how they change. Have you ever seen people have a sudden mood shift because they've been shortchanged? You know, a couple bucks, or you don't give the right change, or somebody, and they immediately make an assumption of malice that you are trying to, you know, trick them. You are trying to take advantage of them, because that's the spirit that they are familiar with that's attached to the money they use. So they're attributing that spirit to money. And there is no spirit on this $100 bill. If it is, it just got all messed up somehow. Little pieces of partial spirit laying on the floor right now. But there is no spirit, but there is a attached to the bill, but there is in our hearts, and we can't serve God and mammon. That is a powerful, powerful statement. So I want to know, the money that flows through my life that God allows me to use, I want to make sure I can recognize when the spirit of mammon is operating, and I want to make sure that I'm always serving God. Here's a real quick tip. When you're operating in the spirit of mammon, people use people to love money. But the kingdom way is to use money to love people. Does that make sense? Okay. So now just move up on the page there. So in this seminar, and let's go to 3 John, 3 letter of John, verse 2, says thoughts on prosperity there. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. This is the New King James Version. The newer versions will say that you will get along well just as your soul is getting along well. And what it's talking about is the journey. So I want you to think of what we're going to talk about in the next few hours together, three sessions, as a journey of prosperity. Yeah, I believe in prosperity, but not grabbing it, claiming it, and focusing on it, because the spirit of mammon can get in there real quick when that's your focus. But we're talking about first is a prosperous soul journey. If you're writing your notes, put that in. Journey of the soul or soul journey. John is saying, I recognize that you're prospering in your soul. You're having a journey. The word literally means a journey that reaches a great destination. So that's what I want for your soul, okay? Turn to somebody and tell them, I want your soul to prosper. Tell them that. Just let those words come out of your mouth. Okay? We want to have a prosperous soul journey. Amen? But secondly, in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, on the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. This literally means as your financial journey is getting along well, according to how well your financial journey is, take some of it and give it to the Lord. There's no pressure here. There's an assumption that you're going to have a prosperous financial journey. At the end of this message this morning, I want to come into an agreement of faith that everyone under the sound of my voice, every household, will have a financial journey that leads to a great conclusion. How many want that, okay? That's what we want. Now, you're going to have to, three people in here want that, so that's great. So, I will come into agreement with you on that. And the reason I will is because we're going to take the time to explain all the aspects of what your financial journey is. And you can look at these notes. Please bring them back tonight. We talk about your financial life like the legs on the table, the earning, the saving, the spending, and the giving. You can't just look after your giving and think that the rest of your table is going to stand and be solid. You have to look after each part. We'll briefly refer to those tonight, and I think you'll like what we say, and you'll have some take-home points to go with you. Okay, so we're good. You with me? Got another 20 minutes or so here. Let's go back to the first page. This morning, I want to talk about, in light of this idea of the spirit of mammon and the idea that money, bills, cash, digits in your bank account screen, all this can be used, can be attached to an evil spirit. It can be attached to the spirit of God. You can love it, or you can use it to love others. There's a whole array of opportunities here, and I call them different economies. So I want to talk to you about three economies that you can operate in, what they are, and the consequences of each one. So let's get in this with a very familiar scripture passage in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read it through. You know it well. Have the patience to listen to it again, because we're going to make an application here that you may not have heard of from this passage before. It's called the Good Samaritan. You know, if you can read it, let's read it through together. Jesus replied with a story. Read it out loud as I am, if you can. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. We've missed a verse there, didn't we? We missed something. Yeah, we missed. Okay, so I'm going to read it here, because somebody was afraid I was going to preach too long this morning. So let me read it from the Bible. Okay, leaving him half dead. In verse 31, a priest happened to be going down to the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Jesus said, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robber? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Well, we know that parable. That is a powerful parable. And money is at the center of it, because one group of people was trying to take money and another person was willing to give money. And either stealing, ignoring, or loving, you've got this, all the different responses to money in this parable. And let's face it, it's one of the most well-known stories from the Bible. When you hear of an organization named Samaritan's Purse, you know right away it's talking about this. And just about everybody out there knows that too. The term Good Samaritan has been in our cultural colloquialism, colloquialism in our language for centuries. So here we are. Let's look at it in light of what I'm saying here. The first people, the robbers, were operating in the devil's economy. They're under the spirit of mammon, and the devil's economy is based on taking. So the word there, get out your pen, whatever you're using to take notes here, or type it in on your device and put it in later. The devil's economy is based on taking. The mode of operation is cheating and stealing. The motivation is greed. And the motto of the devil's economy is, what's yours is mine and I'm going to take it. What's yours is mine and I'm going to take it. I got to find a way to get the money you have into my account. You know, there's been so many scams like that where, you know, just sign up and give us your credit card and you'll get this and this and this. But the whole motive behind it is to get access to your funds so that whatever you have, I can transfer to mine. It's all about greed, no matter what it looks like. And they were operating in the devil's economy. Now, the priest and the Levite, they would never think of robbing or stealing from another. That's their money. That's their money. They wouldn't think of that. And they were busy people, and they had a busy life. But they were operating in the world's economy. And the world's economy is based on trading. Okay, so that's the next one there. Trading. If you do this for me, I'll do that for you. I'll work for you for this much an hour. If you perform this task, you're worthy of that. You carry my bags, I'll pay you at the end. Whatever it is, there's trading. I have some money, you have some money, and we'll try to make a deal. You need this, I have this, let's make a trade. Maybe we both feel we've won, but we're trading. It's based on fairness, being equitable. Yeah, there can be some greed in there too. So then we start operating in the wrong economy, even though we might be operating within the law. By the way, operating within the different economies has nothing to do with the amount or the law. You might be breaking the law, you might not, but you can still have greed in your heart. So the world's economy is trading. The motivation really is a fear of lack. What's really at the base of it all is, will I have enough? And so I don't help that man because I don't have enough time. I need to go do my job or else I might lose my job. I don't have enough money. I can't stop and pay for a hotel and pay for this guy's hospital business. He should have had health care anyways. You know, what's wrong with him? So it's this, at the very root of it is, will I have enough? If any of you are old enough to go and to a financial advisor and talk about your retirement, that's the whole thing. Will I? Do I have enough to live on? I think this is crazy how this can operate even when the amounts are insane. I remember back in the 80s, the first pitcher that was ever signed for the Blue Jays for an extended contract, a five-year contract at $2 million a year. That was unheard of back then. And they put the microphone onto his wife's face at this time. It was just big news. It made not only the sports news, but the nightly evening news. And they said, so what do you think? Here's what she said, okay? Her 35-year-old husband or 33-year-old husband and this woman, she says, now we can start a family. Here's a guy making $500,000 a year in the 80s. And she's afraid to start a family because I don't know if he'll sign a contract long enough. How many have started a family here at all? You've had kids. How many did it before you had $2 million in the bank? I see all those heads, everybody's heads. There isn't another. Okay? Yeah. And I hear this all the time from people that are childbearing age. I don't know, like, will we ever be able to afford to have children? And when fear masquerades as discernment, but it's a very bad counselor. And even when we don't see it, when it looks like knowledge, when it looks like reason, when it's fear, it does not expand the kingdom of God in our lives or other people's lives. You're tracking with me. Okay. So the world's economy is trading. The motivation is fear of lack. And the motto is, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. You know, that's mine. That's mine. But I'm not going to keep it. Come back tonight and find out why and how. What am I going to do? Now, God's economy, the Samaritan, and of course, we all know Samaritans are supposed to hate Jews and vice versa. You know, it's like the Palestinians and the Jews today. They're that animosity, that just kind of presumption that I can't trust you. You won't trust me. We better, one of us is going to get hurt bad if we start to share. And this is the man who not only takes him to the inn, like takes him to the clinic, if you will, and says, here's a guy, I want to help him. But he pays and says, let me know if he needs more, I'll come back. Silver coins, that's more than $100. Here's a man who understood that he could undo the work of the devil using money to love people. We can undo the mess the devil's making when we take what God's already given us and we say, I'm a steward, not an owner. And Jesus said, when you come up against that kind of need, you represent me. Now, help me go undo the works of the devil with what I've given you. Is something stirring in your heart when I say it that way? Not just, oh, I know I should because the guy's laying there hurt, but there's this anticipation of the kingdom coming in power. You know what the Bible says? He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and he will repay him. Oh, hallelujah. I said on a missions message, but that is my motto in Bangladesh. We are pumping thousands into our food support program every month right now. And I just look at that and go, Father, I'm loaning you another $2,000 here. Because you want to bless these poor people. We had a Muslim lady that we helped her get back, get her business started again. When a business, I mean vegetables by the side of the road. She was digging them up out of the dirt trying to sell stuff that grew by the side of the road. Just destitute. And we came along and said, here's a loan and here's a gift. Go buy some vegetables. Our guy came back a few days later and this woman said, it's the grace of Jesus. Look at this. Destroyed the work of the devil in that lady's life just by giving her, and it was $35. It's all we needed to do to get her business started again. And I got about 15 workers over there right now praying and looking for people like that because we're giving into the food support program, and the COVID and the government lockdowns have made people, they may not be beaten, but they're like that guy in the parable. They just are out of resources. And we're using money to bring the kingdom of God and the truth of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. God's economy is based on trusting. Trusting. The motivation is love that fuels faith. Remember, Paul says, nothing really counts except faith working through love. When you're using your faith to love others, when you're spending your faith on others' benefit rather than selfish goals, then you're operating in the kingdom and you're in God's economy. The motto is, what's mine is God's and I'm going to give it. Let me go through that again. Devil's economy is taking. World's economy is trading. God's economy is trusting. Motivation is greed. Motivation for the world's economy is fear, for God's economy is love. One says, what's yours is mine, I'm going to take it. Another says, what's mine is mine, I'm going to keep it. God's economy says, what's mine is God's, and I'm going to give it. I don't mean we have to take a vow of poverty and give away everything. There's stewardship. We're going to talk about that tonight. You're supposed to have some money. You're supposed to have more than you need. You're supposed to be able to grow it. Hallelujah. Yeah. But until we move away from fear and greed, we'll never know the joy of saying, I can go lend money to God. He's good for it. Yeah, think about it that way. That your spirit-led, measured giving is actually loaning that amount of money to God. Because you're his hands, you're his feet. You're looking after his bank account. If I go into the TD Bank where I bank, and the teller says, nope, I'm keeping your money today. I don't want to give any. I really like the number of zeros there, and I'm going to hang on to it. Well, no, that's my money. I gave it to you, but when I want to use it, I take it back. And God gives you his resources, and when he wants to do something with it, he taps you on the shoulder. It's his name on the account. And the joy of this, to not be afraid, but to walk in a spirit of generosity. We're going to talk about that again in other sessions where Paul says you can get to the place where you can be generous on every occasion. Oh, I prayed that years ago. I started this teaching about 19 years ago. And at that time, most of it was by faith. 19 years later, I can tell you my personal finances are completely transformed. We never made a lot of money. There was always that anxiety, that undercurrent of, you know, mortgage and stuff we had to do. And just, you know, well, one day we'll go on a cruise. One day. Hey, finally, my wife and I booked a cruise in January for this month. Finally, we said, it's time for a cruise. 2020. 2020 is like, you know, if every year was a horse, this year they gave us a bucking bronco, and I get on it, and I think I can ride, and it keeps throwing me off. Every time I think I got it down pat, I know where this is going, there's a new thing happening. But God is in control, amen? So, in Luke chapter 12, there's a powerful verse, and I'm coming to a close really soon here. Luke chapter 12. You might have that scripture as well. I hope we can put it up there. Jesus is talking about some really important kingdom principles. And I read this one day, did a whole sermon on it. Well, I think it was my first message I preached after I was ordained. And because it had impacted me and it reminded me of times of myself. So Jesus is talking about acknowledging his name in front of people. If you tell about me, in heaven, I'll be talking about you. Like, wow, incredible concepts. And in the middle of that message, verse 13, someone stands up, calls out from the crowd, hey, teacher, tell my brother to give me my inheritance. That was a real change of channels. The audacity, the preoccupation of that, incredible. He was so perseverating over what's mine isn't yet mine and I need to get it, that the most profound principles, he's got the Son of God in front of him. He's listening to the very words of the kingdom. And all he can think about is, that brother of mine's trying to rip me off. I should get some of the inheritance. He shouldn't get it all. He's absolutely blocked from hearing what he needs to hear because he's perseverating about his own financial desires because his heart's attached to it. And it's like a blocking emotion. I'm not going to ask for, heads bowed and eyes closed and hands up on that one. But I've been there before. I've been preoccupied with what I have or don't have or think I should have or how I can get it. And that is dangerously close to the devil's economy. And that is dangerously close to inviting the spirit of mammon to attach itself in my heart. It's like a soul tie, if you will, if you know that kind of language. So you go down the chapter and you hit verse 19. And this is the guy that has so much extra that he says, what am I going to do? I got so much. I got my stocks are rising. My bonds are good. My house is paid off. I think I just need a bigger house. So here you've got the opposite, where you got someone who is trusting so much in what they have, they feel, I can just put my feet up and I can relax now. Jesus rebukes that man and said, you don't even realize that you have one day left in your life. And you're sitting there admiring the brickwork on your house and the vines growing in the yard and the horses in the stable. And you don't realize that in hours from now, you're going to have to count, what did you do with it? And he says, your heart was not rich towards God, but it was wrapped around those things. So there's people who are perseverating. There's people who are luxuriating. The spirit's the same. It's trusting in things. It's trusting in money. Is there one more scripture there? I think there's one more. Have we got it there? Yeah, verse 22. Then it's the verse where you know this one as well. Do not be anxious what you should wear, what you should eat. Don't be worried about the things you're going to need tomorrow. He said, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. So some people, they're not angry about, you know, being ripped off. They're not luxuriating in their abundance, but they're just in a constant state of, will I have enough? Will I have enough? Will I have enough? And that absolutely colors their ability to hear the voice of the Lord. They come into church, they hear about an offering, but I don't know if that's if that job's come through. I don't know if this. I don't know. Like later. I can't do that. So they ambush their own blessing by presuming that until they see it, they can't act on it, rather than trusting and saying, well, what do I have? I can give from something that I do have. We're at the end of the message. There's a lot more coming tonight. I want you to stand with me, please. And I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about money this morning? How do you feel about the fact that if you're not careful, the enemy's going to get access to your finances? How do you feel about the fact that it's not enough to go by the silver rule? Don't do unto others what you wouldn't want them to do unto you. Jesus says, go by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How do you feel about the fact that there's a blessing attached to every act of giving? You cannot operate in God's economy without God giving you interest on what you've given. There is always interest. Interest rates right now on GICs, I just got an email that said, we're doubling the rate, bonus, 0.2% if you act now. 0.2 instead of 0.1. Yeah. What world are we living in right now? Anybody old enough remember 13%, you know, in your checking account? But the point is, you can't operate in God's economy without the interest coming. And the rates aren't set every Wednesday at the whim of the economic conditions. It's set by a heavenly Father who loves to bless his children. So close your eyes just for a moment. I want you to raise your hand if you would say yes to this question. Terry, I've had some fear about my finances, a little, maybe low-grade anxiety, maybe outright fear, but I've had worry in connection to my finances. I want your hand right up so I can see you, because I got a lot of light glare here. In the past month or so. There's been some thoughts, some worry. Just hold it up for a moment. Please keep your eyes closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, for everyone whose hand is up here, my hand's up, I've been there, and I just want to come into agreement right now that you are going to reveal and heal the reason for the worry. And you are going to take every one of us, you can put your hands down, you're going to take every one of us out of the other economies and bring us into your economy. We want to transfer everything we have into your economy. We want to take it out of the institution of the world and put it into the spiritual bank of the Heavenly Father. Not physically, not the coins now we're talking. There's no offering here. But Father, we just thank you right now. And Father, I release faith in this house, in this room. And I pray that you would absolutely go after our faulty thinking and that you would win our hearts so that we can see the blessings that you've purposed for us. And if you're listening here online, I've included you in that. I bless you. This will not be online tonight, but the notes for this or the recording may be made available. You can call the church office and they will be able to tell you. So Father, we pray for journeying mercies, travel, safety, and bring everyone back here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. Can we thank Terry Bone for coming and for sharing this life offering message? We're going to make a formal dismissal now. He's going to clean up his $100 bill that's in 75 pieces. Jesus, thanks for today. Thanks for stretching us. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you, Lord, that we're annoyed. Some are annoyed. Some have to navigate through, how would he do that? Why would he do that? And Jesus, check our hearts. Check our hearts. And Lord, today, tonight, tomorrow night, would you give us a grace to trust you? Not trust the world, not trust parents that might throw money at us, not trust our job, not trust our boss, trust you. Serve, Lord, serve monies, government help, serve monies will come and they will go. Assistance issues, Lord, government assistance issues will come and they will go. But you are our rock. Teach us. Give us grace. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, for grace to trust you more. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.